Now, Jerry, before I begin, I just want to thank you for listening to this material and for the opportunity you've given me. You know, lots of people think that guys like you, you know, people who've made it, lose their feeling for struggling young talents such as myself. But now I know from experience that those people are just cynics embittered by their own failure. I know, Jerry, that you are as human as the rest of us, if not more so. Oh, well, I guess there's no point going on about it. You know how I feel. So let's get on with the show, The Best of Rupert Pupkin. Jerry, I've sketched out this little outline in order to save you a little bit of time, okay? It's a little introduction. So close your eyes and imagine it's exactly 6 o'clock. You're standing in the wings and we hear Lou Brown and the orchestra strike up your theme song.
And now, from New York, it's the Jerry Langford Show with Jerry's guests, Richard Pryor, Ben Gazzara, Elizabeth Ashley, Carol Burnett,
and the comedy find of the year, making his television debut, Rupert Pupkin, the new
Rupert.
King of comedy.
Rupert, are you crazy?
Say
what's the matter with you?
Yeah,
people are sleeping. Lower it. What's the matter with you?
Mom!
Take it easy. Lower it.
I'm not going to lower it. I have to do this now.
I don't mind you playing it, but lower it.
Recorded live from Pennsylvania and Nebraska, U.S. of A. It's the Bob and Elvis Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Elvis Dingledean.
Sorry I'm being so negative. I'm a bummer. I don't know. I shouldn't be. I'm a very, lucky guy. I got a lot going for me. I'm healthy. I'm relatively young. I'm white, which thank God for that shit, boy.
That is a huge leg up. Are you kidding me?
Oh, God, I love being white. I really do.
Seriously, if you're not white, you're missing out, because this shit is thoroughly good. But let me be clear, by the way, I'm not saying that white people are better. I'm saying that being white is clearly better. Who could even argue? If it was an option, I would re-up every year. Oh, yeah, I'll take white again. Absolutely. I've been enjoying that. I'm going to stick with white. Thank you.
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality. The Bob and Elvis Show.
So I start out with the movie King of Comedy, and then follow with the actual 2010, as far as I'm concerned, the actual King of Comedy, Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Funniest man alive right now.
Yeah, startlingly funny.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? It's the Bob and Elvis Show. Bob Seska here in Pennsylvania. That's me. Elvis Dingledean there in Nebraska.
That's me.
Today's show brought to you by Bubble Genius and Pomegranate Journeys.
Yeah.
Just a massive steaming bucket of show today, I don't mind saying. And it almost didn't happen because... You know, this is the second day in a row that the internet has just totally screwed me. I mean, get ready. You know, see, here's me. I'm an idiot, okay? I want to get that out of the way right away. Here's how, and I've mentioned this on the show before, I just want to reiterate for the context of the story. I put all of my notes for the show, which is basically just like a list of links. I do all of that in Hotmail as a Hotmail draft email because... I've been working on the internet for 15 years, and I still don't know how to use it. So that's what I do. It's a stupid thing to do. It's a roll of the dice, because at any moment, Microsoft, because they're so awesome, will go down, will just disappear, and Hotmail will go down. And that's exactly what happened about 15 minutes before we started recording today's show. So I had no notes, no links, and none of it. None of it. None of it. So... You know, hence we are delayed. But damn you, Microsoft. Big time Microsoft.
Hotmail, ladies and gentlemen.
Hotmail. Thank you very
much.
Welcome
to 1994.
And I love tweeting about shit like that, too. Like, say, oh, yeah, I've got Hotmail. And then seeing the cavalcade of, you've got Hotmail? What's the matter with you? So that always...
Well deserved.
Entertaining. Yes, it's a very helpful in a crisis. Thank you. I understand that Hotmail sucks. That's like, you know, it's like a person with one leg struggling to get up an escalator. People go, well, you know what? You do only have one leg. Anyway. Hey, you know what? Before we get into any sort of real politics,
mm-hmm.
I've got to mention here that I wish between now and November that I could just move to New York and set up residency in New York and register to vote in New York. You know why?
So you can vote against Paladino?
Yeah, I can vote against Paladino, but more importantly, I can vote for Jimmy McMillan.
Mm.
Are you familiar with Jimmy McMillan?
Mm-mm.
Jimmy McMillan is running for governor in the state of New York, was participating in this week's gubernatorial debate. He is from this is an actual political party, the Rent Is Too Damn High party.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. If you haven't heard this clip of Jimmy McMillan in the Rent Is Too Damn High party and his statement at the New York gubernatorial debate, this is now you gotta set the stage. He's an African American man. He's got this crazy sort of like old timey, General Burnside mustache that he's just
he looks like a Klingon.
Does.
That looks like something a Klingon would have.
That's right. He's like Gowron.
Gowron, exactly.
It's like he's gonna stand up and go Ach Bach Bagach with his fucking giant sword and
is he wearing gloves?
He's wearing black gloves.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they're like isotoner. They're like the form-fitting, like with the little grippies on the fingers.
I'm going to vote for that guy anyway.
That's right.
I'm mailing it in.
That's exactly right. We all, no matter what state you live in, even if you don't live in America, I know there's people listening to us, as far away as Canada. If you're in Canada, just go and pretend to vote for Jimmy McMillan in 2 weeks. Because here's his statement, and how can anyone possibly disagree with this platform? Jimmy McMillan.
I represent the Rent Is Too Damn High party. People are working 8 hours a day and 40 hours a week, and some a third job. Women can't afford to take care of their children, feed their children breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. My main job is to provide a roof over your head, food on the table, and money in your pocket. This is politics as usual. Playing a silly game, and it's not going to happen. The Rent Too Damn High movement, the people I'm here to represent can't afford to pay their rent. They're being laid off right now as I speak.
Yeah.
They can't eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Mm-hmm. Listen, child's stomach just growled. Did you hear it?
Got to listen. He kind of choked on that. That would have been a great line. Like, listen, some child's stomach is still growling, but he was like, a child is still chowing, growling.
He's gonna break into ghetto by Elvis Presley.
So like me.
Okay.
Let's
Mr.
talk
McMillan,
about the issue.
Mr. Cuomo, 30 Stop. Seconds for you, sir.
Rent is too damn high.
Rent's too damn high.
That's right, like off camera. They've already gone to a one shot of Cuomo, right? And yeah. Jimmy McMillan's over there.
Rent's too damn high.
Rent's too damn high.
In the ghetto.
As a karate expert, I will not talk about anyone up here.
There you go. So Jimmy McMillan has...
He is Elvis.
He's totally Elvis. He's got also a lot in common with one of my favorite movie characters, which is Chest Rockwell from Boogie Nights, who's the master of the nunchuck.
Yes, he is.
So, a karate expert.
Because our children can't afford to live anywhere. Nowhere. There's nowhere to go. Once again, why? You said it. The rent is too damn high.
Thank you, Mr. McMillan. Mr. Cuomo.
First, I'm with Jimmy. The rent is too damn high.
Rent too damn high, party for you. If you want to marry a shoe, I'll marry you.
There you go. If you want to marry a shoe.
Oh, my God.
Boy, that
In
you know
ghetto.
What? How can you possibly disagree with any of that? Yeah, the rent is too damn high.
And how much does Cuomo sound like Rupert Pupkin there?
He totally... Ma!
Ma!
Lower it!
I'm not lowering it. I love that movie.
It's just from the golden age of late night television, right? When they'd have those great... panels.
Yeah,
I was looking at some old Tonight Show with
this generation. The generations that missed the Tonight Show in real time are just don't know what they're missing. I mean, there was nothing like Johnny Carson.
Yeah,
he was just absolutely the king. And those old like with George Gobel and Dino, and Dino's putting his cigarette out in George's coffee. That's the greatest clip ever.
Yeah, and like Bob Hope is doing walk-ons with his golf club, and you know, it's just
a big boys' club. Fucking awesome.
That's right. I was looking at a video clip of like Dom DeLuise. This is like young Dom DeLuise. Yeah. On the show, and he does this whole routine with Johnny there, and he's got a tray and four glasses of water, and he arranges the four glasses of water into a sort of a diamond formation, puts this serving tray on top of it, like a waiter serving tray, and then matchbooks.
I remember that, and
he arranges the matchbooks over where the cups are filled with water, mm-hmm. and then on top of the matchbooks he puts four eggs.
Yeah.
So you've got a glass of water in a diamond shape. Then you got the matchbooks matching the arrangement of the glasses of water, and then the eggs with a tray in the middle of all of it. And then he grabs, of course, you're thinking he's just bullshitting us. He's just going to smack Johnny in the face with these eggs.
Yeah.
And so like it's this elaborate setup, and he takes this broom and hauls off. And this is Dom DeLuise. He's doing this narrative like he's just oh no. Okay. Oh my. And he's like, Oh, this one fell over, and he's doing this whole elaborate setup. Takes this broom and hauls off, and like he's gonna hit it like a baseball. And Johnny, no, you can't do that. And so what he does then is he presses the broom down so that the bristles of the broom actually become almost like a spring.
Mm-hmm.
And he hauls back the handle of the broom in front of this arrangement. Lets it go. The broom handle hits the tray. The eggs, all four of them, go right down into the glasses of water.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, he knocks this tray clean out. It was better than any sort of, you know, magician pulling the tablecloth off a table and all the, you know, the table settings remaining there. But this was unbelievable. I swear to God, it was going to be a bit. And, of course, it devolves into an egg fight. Johnny's shoving, you know, they're all drunk, right? Ed is drunk. Johnny's drunk. Dom is drunk.
Johnny wasn't drunk.
Johnny was always drunk. Those guys, it was of that time where they're just, that's the natural state of man.
4 o'clock martinis.
That's right. So they're just, I mean, they're on that buzz, right? And so they're shoving eggs down their pants. They're hurling eggs across the set.
Yeah.
Ed's involved. It just devolves into mayhem, which is obviously one of the inspirations behind that SNL clip with Dana Carvey as Johnny Carson, and then Phil Hartman as Burt Reynolds, and Chris Farley, right, as Dom DeLuise, and they're just laughing with their pants are down. They're just laughing drunk, and then Farley comes in with these cream pies and smacks the cream pies into Burt Reynolds and Johnny Carson's crotches, right?
Yeah.
And then, this is Farley as Dom DeLuise, starts pissing in his pants as he's laughing.
It wasn't Norm MacDonald as Burt Reynolds?
No, it was before Norm.
Huh.
It was just, and I think we forget this, but Phil Hartman, because Norm MacDonald's Burt Reynolds is so brilliant, we forget that Phil Hartman also did a brilliant Burt Reynolds.
Well, he was just a master of anything.
Yeah.
So he did a great Ed McMahon too.
Yeah. Oh, totally. So, yeah. I mean, he was the iconic. I mean, people who do Ed McMahon voices now are actually doing Phil Hartman doing Ed McMahon.
Yeah. Most of my impersonations are just copying Phil Hartman.
Right. Right. So there you go. That's Jimmy McMillan from the Rent Is Too Damn High Party.
Gowron.
Gowron. Klingon. Ach, bach, bagach. I don't know. That's the only Klingon I know. You know Klingon. I don't know any Klingon.
No, I'm not that big a nerd. And what's with the insinuation on Twitter the other day that I can get you cocaine? What was that about?
Well, that was in retaliation to...
I live in Nebraska. I can get you some meth, but I don't know where I could find you any cocaine for that sake.
Well, see, now, what I was doing is I was debating with myself. I've been getting up at like 4:30 in the morning because that's when our sort of on death's door pug dog wakes up. And she's in her hospital bed and, which is basically a cushiony rocking chair with, you know, I've set up, you know, towels and blankets in there. And when it's time for her to get up and eat and go to the bathroom, she stands up on that arrangement and just starts making this like rhythmic barking sound, which is impossible to sleep through it. So, I get up at 4:30 and haul her out there. So consequently, I am just absolutely sleep deprived.
Oh.
And so, you know, it was about 3 o'clock. I'm right in the middle of my Huffington Post column yesterday, and I'm going, should I go for that fifth cup of coffee? And I drink this supercharged coffee. I drink this Senseo, which is like a single cup maker where you put the little pods in there and you press it down and it makes a single fresh pot of or a fresh cup of coffee. And so it's really potent. And so, should I do my fifth one? So I tweet that and you responded that, yes, you totally need to be more spazzy and high strung or something to that effect. So,
yeah, something like that.
When someone else mentioned that I should just switch to cocaine, I said, well, maybe Eldon can hook me up.
Yeah, because that's what I can do.
Yeah.
He needs to get you some crack.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there was a go-to guy for drugs, you know, it's either you or our frequent commenter, Cousin Abby. I think both of you guys are just, you're just steeped in it.
I think he's more like the pharmaceutical, like he's got like a whole case of you know, like Schedule A narcotics in his basement.
Yeah.
Just stuff you can get from the pharmacy.
And you know he's totally wanking it now that we're talking about him on the podcast.
Cousin Avi.
And yeah, I mean, because he lives in Thailand. And if you live in Thailand and you don't have access to the greatest drugs in the world, then you're doing something horribly wrong.
Yeah.
But don't do drugs, kids, is what I'm saying.
No, don't do drugs unless it's pot.
That's right. And even then, you know.
Took Peanut on a really ill-advised nature hike the other day through some forest. And then it dawned on me that it's still hunting season and we're out there tromping around through the woods. Probably not the best thing in the world.
Smart.
So we had to hightail it out of there, making lots and lots of non-deer-like noise before we got, you know, shot.
Yeah.
And then I let her drive the car, and she's 8. So we had quite the unlawful weekend.
I know what you're saying. I did that with Lauren.
Breaking
I had Lauren out. Yep. I took her out, and she went, like, over to the school parking lot, and, you know, you move the, and this is when I was driving a Jeep Renegade, a Jeep Liberty Renegade, and so, you know, it's this tiny person driving this giant Jeep, and just, you know, like, definitely slow in the driveway, you know, like Rain Man,
and
it was just like, you know, around a little circle, and that was it, and so, you know, you're allowed to do that. Yeah.
Well, we were in a cornfield, so absolutely no chance of any. Even a school parking lot gives me the chills, but this was in a cornfield, so.
So did you make crop circles or something? Is that what you're doing out there?
She drove about 50 yards in a straight line, and that was it.
Nice.
Can't even see over the steering wheel. So.
So Juan Williams got fired by NPR, which begs the question, Juan Williams still works for NPR?
Juan Williams worked for NPR at all?
Yeah, I mean, I
was shocked by that.
So what he was on, Juan Williams, of course, is the token liberal on Fox News Sunday.
Yeah,
and you know he's evidently works for NPR. I had no idea.
I'd put liberal in air quotes.
Yeah,
I mean, not my kind of liberal.
Yeah, he's like the Stockholm syndrome liberal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do know that he worked for NPR. Clearly he did, but you know, you'd never know it because we only know him from Fox News. So he was on O'Reilly the other night and they're talking about the quote unquote Muslim dilemma, which is just such,
because there is one,
fear-mongering horseshit.
Bullshit.
So O'Reilly says the cold truth is that in the world today, jihad aided and abetted by some Muslim nations is the biggest threat on the planet.
Yeah. My ass.
Right.
Fuck you, Bill.
I know.
Oh, my God.
So stupid. So stupid. Fuck. Just flagrant fear mongering. This is just.
Bigger than global warming. Yeah. It's bigger than. Fuck you, Bill. Bigger than, you know, the calamitous economic crisis. It's jihadism.
China, loose nukes, you know, in the former Soviet republics.
Right. Anything. I could. Oh, my God. The soil erosion on the Farm of Doom is more of a crisis to me right now.
The biggest threat on the planet. And these guys couldn't light off fireworks in Times Square.
But even not marginalizing them and saying, yeah, they have the capacity to kill people. It doesn't. So does anyone. It's a couple of some dead people in a terrorist attack is not a threat to society, to civilization, to governments, to the perpetuity of the Constitution. Don't stop saying that it is.
Yeah.
Pisses me off.
Right.
Cold War, nuclear proliferation, the Soviet Union, those were things that were literal threats to humanity, mm-hmm. to the, you know, to existence. Jihadism is not. There will never be a global caliphate. Sorry.
Yeah.
Up your ass, Bill.
Well, this always makes me think, you know, we spent the last, well, since 2001, the Republicans.
Yeah. Shitting our pants.
Yeah, shitting our pants and spending billions of dollars.
If not, trillions. Well,
trillions. Yes, trillions. If you add in the Iraq War and all of that.
Yeah.
And we've done all of these things from the Patriot Act to, you know, now we've got these naked body scanners and we're taking off our shoes and there's all this security.
Accomplished exactly.
We've created
nothing.
An entirely new cabinet level department. Okay. Yeah. And still, they're the biggest threat on the planet. What does that say? Someone is wrong here. Either they're
Rock
not
on.
The biggest threat or the Bush Republicans have fucked up somehow in trying to thwart the terrorists.
Yeah.
So, nevertheless, here's what Juan Williams said in response. And this, you know, the first line will clue you in as to what's coming next. I mean, look, Bill, I'm not a bigot.
Which but. Always,
yeah. But, you know the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country, but when I get on a plane, when I get on the plane, not a plane, he says the plane, there is only one plane. I gotta tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb and I think, you know, they are identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. So Juan Williams is getting on an airplane. And you know, he has written about civil rights,
but
he's profiling.
Yeah, Sullivan said it right flat out. Sorry, that's the definition of bigotry, is associating, you know, looking at one person and associating this whole, this bullshit ideology with it. That's bigotry. Sorry, you lose, Juan.
Mm-hmm.
Douche.
Right.
Think it, don't say it. That's all I'm saying. And NPR was, you know, I'm typically not a big fan of knee-jerk reactionary firings and things like that when people say inflammatory things. I mean, people have the right to speak their minds and blah, blah. But the way NPR put it when they fired his ass about, you know, editorial standards and objectivity kind of have a point there. If you're going to go on Fox News and say that out loud, maybe you shouldn't be in an editorial, you know, in a position to report the news on in an institute like NPR. So, sorry.
Well, and along those lines, here is Sarah Palin. Couldn't wait to dive in. And this is
great defender of the First Amendment.
Right. We still don't know if this is really. I mean, is it really Sarah Palin who's tweeting these things?
I think it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I could just see her just, you know, that fucking lifeless face of hers just suddenly glowing like, oh,
yeah,
I have
NPR
to weigh
did
in.
Something. Lamestream media.
Ah.
You know, I mean, because if it was an editorial panel, if it was a brain trust, then they would have access to fact checking, like the thing she did the other day where she got the Pennsylvania candidate wrong.
Right.
I mean, if you're sitting in a control room somewhere, you know, the Sarah Palin tweet control room, then you'd have access to the Googles and you could fact check yourself. These things are reactionary. They're knee jerk. They're blood boiling at the time she hears something and she. She's got her. We know she has a BlackBerry, and she goes, and that's that.
That's right.
And just empties her stupid into the Ethernet.
That's right. That's right. And here's, I'm going to illustrate with sound the process of what Sarah Palin is like when she's just sort of her default position in her brain, and then when suddenly she sees something and gets a really, really clever idea that she can express in 140, you know, word salad characters. So here's how it goes. This is just Sarah Palin, like Forrest Gump, just sitting on the edge of her bed, staring off into space. Just flies, cuckoo clock here. And then all of a sudden, she gets an idea. Pop,
ding.
Bum, yeah. Oh my God, I'm going to say something clever now. And here's what she says about the Juan Williams thing. Completely misunderstanding the Constitution. She writes, NPR defends First Amendment right, but will fire you if you exercise it. Juan Williams, you got taste of left's hypocrisy. They screwed up firing you. Sarah.
Wait, they screwed. Is there a comma in there? They screwed up, comma, firing you?
No, it's they screwed up firing you.
That sentence means that they were incompetent at firing him, so that he must still have a job. They screwed up firing him. Fucking idiots.
Well,
again,
Sarah,
with the First Amendment.
I know you're listening to this podcast, Sarah Palin, because you're very self-important, and anyone who's talking about you, you need to pay attention. So here's the deal. The First Amendment does not protect people against their business firing them for saying something, or, you know, a colleague chastising them. The First Amendment is about protecting people from the government.
Right.
If the government, I mean, if the government came down and said, like the FCC, who I'm sure you support, if they wanted to, say, censor, you know, like Janet Jackson.
Right.
You know.
Government censorship of the broadcast of information.
That's right. That's a violation of the Constitution. If the government says you can't say this, or you can't worship that, or the press, or say, you know, the person you endorsed in Alaska hiring, you know, goons to rough up a reporter. I mean, that's even kind of borderline, because Joe Miller really isn't a member of the government yet, but he is a political figure, so it's almost like the government. So, I mean,
that she's got no problem with.
Yeah, no problem there. Hired goons, you know, handcuffing a reporter. That's,
she doesn't seem to get the whole concept of you know, like with my job, I work for a corporation, and the contract that I sign with my corporation every year states in very plain English that they can fire my ass at any time for any reason, anything they want, they can fire me for. I'm a completely at their will to employment. Like, my employment is completely based on their whim. They're just, oh, we don't need Elvis anymore. Fuck him. Fired. That's just how enterprise, that's how business works.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the First Amendment, you idiot.
Exactly.
So, and like, he had the First Amendment right to go out and say it.
So if we, that's right, exactly. So, I mean, if we petition Glenn Beck's advertisers, and if we petition Fox News or Clear Channel, whoever the hell carries his radio show, and we petition them to fire Glenn Beck because Glenn Beck is a douche nozzle, then that is our right to do that, and that is no violation of the First Amendment. The First Amendment would be violated if Barack Obama said, you know what, Glenn Beck can no longer be on the air. We're stripping him of any right to be on, you know, under, you know, threat of arrest to speaking out on the radio. That would be a big violation of the First Amendment. Or, you know, the government saying, you know what, we can't put a Muslim center two blocks away from Ground Zero. If the government is saying that, then maybe that is even a violation of the First Amendment.
Yeah, and there is, and the great thing about it is, if there's any doubt, there's a legal system in this country where you work your way through the courts and eventually get to the Supreme Court, and they can fucking decide it for you. Mm-hmm. So what the hell?
Yeah.
This whole thing about everything being so anti-constitutional, there is a system in place. If you don't like anything, if you don't like anything you think is constitutional, take it to the fucking court system, get it in front of the Roberts Court, the most conservative court ever. And see how you do, you conservative loons, you fucking nut jobs. That's what I don't get. Just make a list of the things you think are anti-constitutional. Yeah. Get yourself a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Take it to court, because you're pretty good chance of getting taken care of with the Roberts Court if you think it's so liberal anti-constitutional.
Yeah.
Roberts Court will take care of you. They'll polish your knob for you.
That's right. So, and then of course, when Sarah Palin is done writing her little 140 words of nonsense, she goes back to her default brain position, which is just this.
Flies.
Yeah, just crickets, just chirping. Yeah. Chirping.
Or the occasional cartoon cow playing a banjo. Black and white, you know, those old Steamboat Willie kinescopes. There's like a duck in the background clapping its hand.
This has got the donkey napping under a tree like Homer Simpson. And
this was the thing about the Christine O'Donnell thing that she said about separation of church and state, is that the whole reason I went on the blog and said that I didn't think that laughter was at her is that I'm so cynical now. I'm such a cynic about public reaction to talking points, to memes, because what she said, and Anderson Cooper did a great takedown, I don't know if you saw it, where he said, he was just doing his little commentary thing. He didn't have any guests or anything. It was just him standing there. And he's talking about how maybe Christine O'Donnell, you know, he's he did all these clips where she's so confused about the Constitution. She didn't know what the 17th was, and she did, you know, she just completely up her ass. Right. And Anderson Cooper did this great thing about how he gets confused too, but guess what? He's not running for public office.
Right.
He's not running for the fucking Senate, and he's not going around on every barfing into every microphone what a constitutional expert he is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm just so jaded that memes that there are people left in the polity, in public, in the sphere where their camera's rolling, that can see through memes and don't take them seriously. She was running on that whole the separation of church and state isn't in the Constitution thing, which technically is true. It's, you know, the whole phrase came from something Jefferson said in a fucking letter, you know, so it's not in any official document. My opinion was that people were giving her that meme, that they were laughing like, oh, you're so clever. Yeah. You're right. You go get them, you know, because we're just so deeply entrenched in talking points that I couldn't. I'm so cynical that I can't fathom a room full of right thinking people, not capital R, you know, just right thinking people that would see through that nonsense and laugh at her in public. That's how cynical I am. I would love that to be wrong, and maybe I am, but I just don't see it. Yep. I think we're just such a talking point nation now that when somebody gets one over, we all just go clap and blow bubbles and spin their propellers on our propeller caps, you know?
I've got some things to say about Christine O'Donnell. We'll do right after.
But first, this word from our sponsor.
But this! And now this. Today's show, of course, brought to you by Bubble Genius, pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius at www.bubblegenius.com. Their website, if you missed last week's show, I just got to remind you, the Bubble Genius website is back up. Just gave you the actual address. If you subscribe to their newsletter, they've got a massive ass discount all month long, 30%. They're going to extend it to our listeners. If you enter the code SMALLBIZ, SMALLBIZ, get 30% off all month. Get your holiday shopping done early. Support independent progressive businesses. Plus, if you vote on Election Day, and you better damn well vote, get your I voted sticker on Election Day. You know, they hand them out there at the polling places. Slap it on your, you know, in your nipple region there and snap a picture. One soap per person. You get a free soap from Bubble Genius. You send them a picture of your I voted sticker.
And just send me a picture of your nipples in general.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, no discounts, but you know, I just have to see that.
And we do have a new commercial from Bubble Genius, which we will now play. Here it is, the latest spot from Bubble Genius.
Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him, Horatio.
Hey, Hamlet, that's not Yorick. It's a soap.
A soap of infinite suds, of most excellent fancy.
Yep, it is pretty fancy. Soap on a rope.
To bathe or not to bathe, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the tub to suffer the suds and showers of outrageous smudges, or to take arms against a sea of bubbles and by abluting end them. To wash, to soak perchance to clean, aye, there's the rub.
Alas, poor Yorick. Skull, soap on a rope, in four colors, including glow-in-the-dark.
www.bubblegenius.com.
Absolutely. Today's show also brought to you by... I'm going to be trying to wrap my head around that commercial for at least a couple of days.
Glow-in-the-dark soap sounds... Mm-hmm. How does that work?
Fun for the whole family. Pomegranate Journeys at www.pomegranate.travel. It's the cure for the common vacation. Pomegranate combines several of my favorite things in the entire world. Food, wine, cycling, and the European countries of France and Italy. Be sure to visit Pomegranate's updated website at pomegranate.travel to see new trips and a new hiking and photography trip in Italy's famous Cinque Terre. Pomegranate offers tours in a variety of skill levels for cycling and has several trips designed especially for beginners. So if you're worried about not being able to do it, don't worry about it. Seriously. I was talking to a friend of mine who said, you know, I don't want to ride. I'm going to fall and make a fool of myself, crash into, you know, various Italian peoples. And I said, don't worry about it. If you can't do it, there's a solution. Pomegranate Sores would be perfect introduction for the magic of travel by bike and could very well transform your life. It's not just another schleppy tour through France and Italy. You can really see the countryside from, you can't see it from a car or a bus. You just whiz on by. Cycling helps you feel the land. And, of course, we have a new a new Virgilia Bonaventura commercial here from the folks at Pomegranate Journeys, and we'll just do that now.
Okay, Virgilio, I need to go to Studio 2. Sit tight. Don't touch anything.
I'll touch anything I want, huh? Oh, that ain't too hard. I do the show myself, huh? Welcome to the Virgilio Show. Uh-huh. My coyons, they get so famous, they give me my own podcast. Brought to you by Pomegranate Journeys, the cure for the common vacation. If you're looking for an active, authentic vacation, go to www.pomegranate.travel and begin your journey of a lifetime.
That's right.
That's www.pomegranate.travel.
Please hang up and try.
Oh, no. Oh, one too many buttons. I don't know what to do. I gotta get back into my garden. Virgilio out.
Shove Bob and Elvis into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Please do.
Subscribe to the Bob and Elvis Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Can't underscore that enough. You want to send us pictures, send us pictures of me and Elvis shoved in your pants.
Even if you're a guy.
On second thought, then, I mean, we're going to get like a dozen pictures of Cousin Abby, you know.
With, yeah. In
with,
Thailand.
Yeah, with like cardboard cutouts of our heads.
You have to,
in his,
you know, yeah,
his
you have pants. To pay extra for that in Thailand, I think. A couple extra baht.
Pomegranate Journeys at www.pomegranate.travel to cure for the common vacation. Seriously, you got to support these businesses. These are progressive businesses, these are independent businesses. You want to stick it up the corporation's asses. Don't buy anything from Target or Walmart. You got the holiday season coming up. Do all of your purchasing from our fine sponsors. Seriously.
Mm. Yeah, fuck Target.
Yeah. And by the way, Pomegranate Journeys is now out production valuing the whole rest of the show.
Well, yeah. Can we get that guy to run our board for us?
Exactly.
Pretty sad.
it really, really is. And it sounds better. I mean, literally sounded better than any show that we've ever done. That's 60 seconds right there. So hats
maybe
off.
Maybe we should be sponsors on their show.
Exactly. Why don't we do that? That you want to talk about a twisty, weird thing. Right in the middle of the of Virgilio's podcast, he does a commercial for the Bob and Elvis show.
Right.
With you and I doing Italian accents.
Yeah, maybe not so much that.
Talking about nards and things like that. So.
Mm. Christine O'Donnell, you
Christine
were
O'Donnell, yes. I'm sick of talking about Christine O'Donnell. And here's the thing with Christine O'Donnell. She's a big fucking distraction. I mean, really, just a big pile of stupid that we don't need to be talking about anymore because she's, what, 20 points down in the polls? They are still, and I'm in the Eastern Pennsylvania Metroplex here, and they're still running TV commercials. The Democrats are still spending money buying media to attack Christine O'Donnell. That is a gigantic waste of money. There is no way that she is going to win. This is not going to be Massachusetts all over again. This is.
I hope not.
No,
that's what they're afraid of. I mean, they're totally afraid of the Scott Brown effect or whatever.
Yeah. So. Well, there's other places they need to, like, send it down to Joe Manchin or send it over to
Harry Reid.
Low T Harry Reid. God, he needs it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that Sharon Angle scares the rat piss out of me. She is just an awful, awful human being. She's awful.
Yeah.
Fuck that woman.
She's terrible, terrible. And then, you know, and then Joe Miller. I mean, you know, I think the Democrats could use a little bit of cash in Alaska, by the way. Because, I mean, here's Joe Miller this week. I mean, this is like it was a huge like Joe Miller week of like just a big pile of Joe Miller crazy. And no one was talking about it because we're so concerned about, you know, Christine O'Donnell's loser doofery when she doesn't even have a chance of winning. And so it becomes just a colossal waste of time to even talk about Christine O'Donnell anymore when you have Joe Miller saying things like, you know, talking about sealing off the border. Saying,
like the Berlin.
Like Berlin. If East Germany could do it, so can we.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable that anybody would say that.
That's right. I mean,
unfucking believable.
Can you?
I have been to East Germany. I have seen the wall. I've been on both. But I've been to East Germany when it was East Germany, when it was fucking communist East Germany. I lived over there. I lived in Germany for not. I didn't live in East Germany, but I've been there. Fuck him for saying that.
Yeah.
He never. I don't know what his travel. I don't know what his life has been like. But that nobody that's been to a communist country could ever have said that.
Yeah.
Douchebag.
Right.
That should lose him the election just by itself.
Can you imagine if that was Janet Napolitano saying that? You can imagine if Janet Napolitano had said, if East Germany could seal off their border, so can we. I mean, I'm talking specifically.
We want to strive to be like fucking communist East Germany.
That's right. But I mean, imagine a Democrat, a liberal Democrat saying something complimentary about communist East Germany.
Yeah. Awesome.
That would
be. Or if Barack Obama had accidentally signed a flag. Right. I mean, they get away with this stuff. Flag desecration. That's like the number three thing on the Republican checklist. There's abortion, the taxes, and better not piss on the flag. And here's Sarah Palin, signing the flag. They get away with it. It would be every news cycle for the next 6 months if a Democrat signed a flag.
Yeah.
Because that's they right. know the Republican noise machine knows how to make it a big stinking fucking deal.
Yeah.
But here's this guy in Alaska saying, oh, let's try and be more like communist East Germany and crickets.
Yeah. That's what they're just, they're, yeah, that's exactly right. They're just terrified of, I got to get the crickets in there. They're just, the Democrats are terrified of the right wing loud noises. So therefore they collapse under pressure. They don't know how to brag. They don't know how to fight back. Like this whole thing the Democrats and President Obama cut the deficit by $122 billion. I mean, down from the previous year, which was the Bush budget.
Yeah.
2009, the deficit from 2009 was based upon spending that George W. Bush authorized and signed into law. Okay. Yeah. And to 2010, the deficit is down by $122 billion from the Bush budget, which means President Obama.
Nobody knows that, though. Nobody could tell you that.
No, totally. I mean, you talk about, absolute and total crickets, total silence.
But we live in a counterfactual universe. Even if you sat 10 wingnut teabaggers in a room and showed them a graph or showed them the receipts, I mean, no amount of empirical evidence, they would just go, oh, those are government numbers. Can't trust that.
Right.
They just control that. Obama just called and said, get Bill Ayers over there to cook the books. I mean, it doesn't matter. We are so living in an alternate universe now that facts just, especially wonky facts like that, just don't mean shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing he can do at this point is to literally drag Osama bin Laden onto the South Lawn and cut his head off with a scimitar. I mean, just visual, something that everybody can look at and go, oh, I saw that he did that. And even then it'd be like, oh, well.
You know what he could use is he could use Jimmy McMillan's bat left. I just pulled that out of my ass. My bat left. God, good Lord.
You Googled that.
I'm There's broadcasting no from the basement of the science building.
Klingons.
Yep. I don't know where that was some sort of subconscious, emergence from Googled 1989. That. Yeah. I didn't Google it. I know bat left. But no, you're exactly right. I mean, the other half of this is that the Democrats don't want to say the word deficit. They don't want to go, well, we cut the deficit, because then all you're going to hear is, Hannity is going to trim that statement down to just deficit. You're going to trip cut out of it and just say, we deficit. that's what's going to air on the Glenn Beck radio show.
Yeah.
Barack Obama saying, we deficit.
We deficit.
Yeah.
Well, it's because we let them get away with it. And until we somehow wrest away the, control of the noise machine, which is just probably not possible. We're just screwed.
Well, that's why you have this. This is one of the reasons why the both sides argument pisses me off. And I'm not going to ride this fucking hobby horse again. So I'm just going to stay this and we're going to move on. But on the right, they're all in lockstep. Someone says something and everyone's like, ditto, 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 ditto. And it resonates. That's why it works. On the left, someone says, you know, we cut the deficit, and then we're going, well, did we really cut it? I mean, what the long-term deficit? Let's look at the CBO chart, and we've got this graph here, and suddenly it becomes this intellectual exercise rather than just saying we fucking cut the deficit by $122 billion. Fuck all of you.
Right.
And it's, right. And instead of we don't do that. We don't do that. Or we go. Well, you know, if I were to yell about this, then I'd be just like the other side, and both sides are just so full of rancor and hate. I don't want to participate in all the hate speech. No, it's not. Just say it, please, for the love of God. Just get on television. David Axelrod, get on television. Nancy Pelosi, everybody, get on television and say we cut the fucking deficit by $122 billion. Fuck all of you who are saying that we fucking are spending out the ass. No.
Yeah. Yep.
As you can tell, I've decided to stop censoring myself on the show.
Apparently, yeah. That's good.
So
we have no chance at a national audience with our potty fuck mouths.
Well, you know, there's always satellite radio. That's why I just keep thinking about satellite radio. I mean, but does anyone listen to satellite radio anymore? I think they don't. I mean,
no.
I listen to satellite radio all the time. And then I got...
On TV. That's when I do it. My cable company runs it on my TV, but I'm certainly not listening to it in my car.
Right. Well, I mean, I have a Sirius. I have a Sirius radio. And, you know... But I don't listen to it anymore. I mean, since I got a really big, massive iPod that I could fit all of my music on, and then I also have an iPhone now, I don't even bother with I don't listen to... I've long since dropped AM and FM radio. And then now I'm dropping Sirius because I've got all this music plus all of my favorite podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like all these talk shows I can just listen to whenever I want. I can pause them. I can listen to them all in a row on a long trip. So who needs actual, you know, pushed... broadcast sort of entertainment.
Yeah. Data that you cannot control. I mean, there's just no market for that anymore.
So, I guess it's an appropriate time to suggest, please, if you love this show, go to iTunes.
I know you do.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, tell your friends, email all your friends, spread the word, tweet about it, dig the thing, do whatever you have to do. Facebook, especially Facebook. Facebook's great. Tell people to sign up for the show. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. All you got to do is you go to the iTunes store. You go to the news and politics section of the podcast tab, the podcast vertical, as they call it in the biz, the vertical. And you go there, and then you can search. You can just type in. If you get to Bob and E, like that's all you need to really type in the search field, and it'll autocomplete to Bob and Elvis Show. You go there and you just hit subscribe. It's free. So they're free, and then all that shit, all the shows whenever we post them, they get downloaded directly to your iTunes, and you can sync them up with your iPod or your iPhone or your iPad, and listen to the show whenever you want. And so that what that does is the more people we get subscribing to the show, the higher we climb in the statistics. They keep tabs of all of that. They don't give a specific number, so I have really no hard numbers from Apple. I do have hard numbers from, you know, my own stats because all the files get served off of my server. So I can look at the number of downloads, and we have a lot of downloads. I mean, we're doing pretty damn well. All things considered, grassroots kind of small podcast. You're there in Nebraska. I'm here in my fucking basement. But, I mean, so we're doing okay. But what we need is more visibility on iTunes because then that skyrockets us up. But there is, you know, there is this extenuating circumstance that we've been waiting for, which is Crooks and Liars, where this show
what's going on with that?
Well, they're setting it up on the what I understand is they're setting up a whole tech infrastructure on the back end. This is as close as I get to any sort of crazy geekery as far as internet stuff. They're setting up some sort of thing on the back end to be able to serve podcasts. And we're going to be able to serve this show on Crooks and Liars. We're going to be able to show, you know, upload this show to Crooks and Liars, which means essentially quadrupling the audience, if not more. So yes, I mean, I think that's pretty good news, and hats off, and thanks to Jamie Holly and and John Amato for you know, supporting the show here coming up soon. So that's going to be pretty big for the show.
Yeah, they got huge audience over there.
Also, speaking of radio, Glenn Beck said, this is, you know what, this is probably the dumbest This is the dumbest segment of the Glenn Beck show I've ever heard. And there's that's saying a lot because most of it's really fucking stupid. All right. This is, we're talking about the complete disconnect from reality earlier. This is a major disconnect from reality. You know what? Damn it. You know what? Let's get to, I want to talk about Bubble Genius here before we get into Glenn Beck. Because I'm really going to talk about Glenn Beck a lot here. Bubble Genius, pure products, pure genius. That's www.bubblegenius.com. Full stop. COM. Can't get enough of that bit. about once every other day, I kind of watch that bit, the Peter Serafinowicz bit. Brian Brophy. So, I forgot to mention too, if you want 15% off your entire order at Bubble Genius, enter Bob and Elvis. That's BOBANDELVIS. Get 15% off your entire order. Bubble Genius is hilarious, all natural. I mean, really smart stuff. Eco-friendly products for bath, body, and mental well-being. It's really, literally the coolest soap and body care stuff you've ever seen. I mean, there's soaps in the shapes of politicians, red for Republicans and blue for Democrats, and there's a Joe Lieberman soap where he's kind of red and blue. There's fun stuff like political poodoo dolls, or you can get a Glenn Beck voodoo doll, or a Sarah Palin. No, wait, you've got the Michelle Bachman voodoo doll, right?
No, I've got the Sarah Palin.
Oh, okay. Maybe there is a, I don't know, is there, no, there's a Michelle Bachman soap that looks exactly like.
Yeah, it really does.
Michelle Bachman.
It's creepy.
Bubble Genius strives to be good to your skin while also being great to the planet. Most of their packaging is recyclable. They source their ingredients as close to home as possible, thereby supporting other local and domestic businesses while cutting down on fossil fuel consumption by not having stuff shipped from across the globe. They do their best to use organic ingredients when they're accessible and affordable, and their soaps are free of chemical detergents and
Surfactants,
that's right. And make sure to go stop by and check out some of their sale items at bubblegenius.com/sale.html, or just click, the sale button. All of our sponsors, you can get to them by going to bobsesca.com and looking at the Bob and Elvis section. And we've got banners just all over the place. We're strewn with links to all of our sponsors. So please, by all means, support your favorite progressive businesses. Pure products, pure genius. It's Bubble Genius.
The Bob and Elvis Show.
Indeed it is. That's the name of the show. So Glenn Beck, this is just the kind of shit that you really got to scratch your head and go, yeah, people are actually buying this. Glenn Beck was talking about, with his morning zoo sidekick, talking about evolution yesterday.
Yeah. And this is just
Jason Lincoln's wrote kind of a takedown of this too, which is pretty funny, on the Huffington Post. So this is the clip of Glenn Beck and his wacky morning zoo sidekick douchebag Pat Gray talking about evolution.
How many people believe in evolution in this country?
I can give out a poll on that. I'm sure.
I'd like to see.
I would too.
Do you have any idea?
I don't.
And there's 9 people who sound exactly like Glenn Beck. I do too.
And I just right off the top, believe in it. Like it's something to believe. Like how many people in this country believe in gravity? Fucking dumbasses believe in gravity. Because it's something that's requires faith.
Yeah.
You don't believe it. Don't get me started.
Yeah, well.
How many people here believe in gravity, everybody? Oh, you chimps. Idiots.
Dumb stupids. Hey, everybody. Yeah. And
what's
it gets worse.
Getting at?
It gets worse. It gets really, really fucking worse.
Think. I mean, I don't know why it's unreasonable to say this.
I love the tone of voice, too. It's like, I'm just a caveman. I don't understand.
You're so exasperated.
I fell into some ice and was frozen and then eventually thawed out by your scientists. I don't understand your modern ways.
I'm not God, so I don't know how God creates. I don't think we came from monkeys. I think that's ridiculous. I haven't seen the half monkey, half person yet.
Oh, you're a fucking idiot.
Wow.
I mean,
from monkeys. That's exactly how it works, Glenn.
These guys function on a fundamental misunderstanding of the
I don't believe
evolution.
It. I do not believe he believes this. I absolutely think he's so full of shit with this. He is cannier than this.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
smarter
yeah.
than this. He's just pandering to the fucking ass scratchers out there.
Yeah, that's
in,
right.
You know, in the states that he makes fun of, in the Deep South and here in the Heartland, where they just go, yeah, goddamn, no way we came from monkeys. Ooh, I said goddamn. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Retards.
We have common ancestors with modern monkeys. We didn't come from a chimp. We have common ancestor with
one day a chimp, and then the next day, like a half a man, half a chimp, and then the next day, a man. That's not how it works, Glenn. And you know that.
I mean, this is where education would certainly help people. And I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, that's my ongoing thesis, that Glenn Beck is just full of shit. He's a big faker, and this is all a big act. But the people who listen to this go, yeah, you know what? I mean, because there's no concept. I mean, you still tell someone, you say to someone, a billion years. And they don't know billion years. I mean, what's it do? I mean, to just...
Yeah. When you consider that humanity has really only been around for about 100,000, that's a long fucking time.
100,000 years. That's right.
Yeah. That's a blink of an eye in geologic and evolutionary and planetary terms.
100,000 years. You could subtract 10,000 years and there would still be 90,000 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But all of the development, I mean, so you're right. They cannot get their minds around the length of time we're talking about. The just epic lengths of time, epochs.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
That's right. And so that's.
How can you look at dinosaur bones? How can you look at the fossil record just of dinosaurs and go, oh yeah, that, where's the reconciliation between dinosaurs and this unabashed, unapologetic belief that there's no such thing as evolution? Right. I don't get it.
Right.
There's just such a massive disconnect there with reality.
Mm-hmm.
Then Glenn, when you have your little spastic, I wrote about this, when you go to doctors and you entreat modern medicine to take care of you. No, you can't do that anymore if you don't believe in evolution. Evolution is the key, is the cornerstone of modern biology. It is the foundation of modern biology, of biology, for Christ's sake, Glenn. You can't then go to the doctor and go, give me an MRI or prescribe me some drug, some medicine that will help fight disease and bacteria and viruses, and then go, oh, fuck this evolution. We didn't come from monkeys. You can't do that. Go out and grow yourself some holistic medicines and suck on a mint leaf or whatever you're going to do. But don't go to the doctors, because they all believe in science and biology. And that all rolls downhill from evolution. So fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you. I'm so mad. I'm not God.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Exploiting the stupidity of the mouth-breathing hoopleheads who believe this shit, who listen to this show. It's just unbelievable. And it goes on. I mean, we're only 26 seconds into it.
But did evolution just stop? Did all of a sudden just, there's no other species that is developing into half human?
And they've never found the transitory species that developed from ape to man. And they've clinged to over and over and over. And then when you bring that up, it's like, okay, well, now we have Lucy. Well, a while ago you had Piltdown Man, which for 40 years was considered the missing link and then proven to be a hoax.
I mean, it's just, it's like global warming. So I don't know why it is so problematic for people to say, I don't know how God creates. I don't know how we got here. If I get to the other side and God's like, you know what?
You know what? Take Glenn. I mean, this is a big, big mistake. Just take God out of it. God has nothing to do with it.
Well, he's leaving God in and taking evolution out of it. He's going at it from the opposite direction. That's the thing. It's you can't comprehend, you know, the clash between creationism and evolution. You've got to come at it from the direction he is. And that's what I don't get this point he's making, that where there are other species turning into humans. That's not how it works, Dick.
Yeah.
Evolution is happening daily by the minute. I mean, we've isolated it in you know, over and over again, the finches of the Galapagos, for Christ's sake. It's everywhere. It's happening everywhere. You just have to go look at it. You just have to know where to look. What there's other species just turning into humans. That makes perfect sense. What a fucking idiot.
And then all they did, they said, well, we're looking for those halfway species, those half, you know, half monkey, mm-hmm. half human species. And then Pat Gray proceeds to say, you know, the ones they found, well, that's just bullshit.
They're all hoaxes.
So yeah. As soon as they have a fossil record of a proto-human, no, that's bullshit. But I want to see one. So if we were to go up to Glenn Beck and say, you know, if I were to go into the jungles of New Guinea or something and find, you know, if scientists were to find some sort of proto-human, like a living proto-human, mm-hmm. and you were to show it to Glenn Beck, he'd go, ah, nah, bullshit.
Again, it's the incredulity, it's the absolute refutation of empirical evidence that steeps this an entire political party that where they just and they somehow able to make us that believe these things, not believe that know these things that not know in the I mean just that understand the science or will trust when smart people tell us these things. Yeah. I mean I trust that there is such a thing, or at least until Einstein came along, everyone trusted that there was this thing called gravity that pulled stuff. But yeah. Then Einstein came along and said, well, it's not really that simple. It's more the whole, the giant well that things with mass create in space that, you know, it's not really gravity. I just trust that these people do experimentation and know these things and write them down for us. And that's how we progress as a society.
Yeah.
We're not going to wait around for somebody to write it down in a book that's 2000 years old and go, oh, well, now I get it.
You know, I can't figure out too. I mean, you know, I grew up in a Catholic household. I went to Catholic school, and I mean, I literally went to Catholic school, and we studied evolution.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't this foreign concept. It was like, well, we had religion class, and we talked about the Bible, and we talked about God, and we talked about Jesus, and then we had science class, and there in science class we talked about science, and right. You know, I did a whole like presentation on Darwin and the theory of evolution, the origin of species, and it was never the two things were never conflated, and I just wish that would happen more often. We have, you know, we have the faith and spiritual side of things, and then we have the scientific method and the proven facts of the known universe,
right?
You know, and that's, I mean, and that's on the other side. I mean, there's two things don't have to be mutual.
Yeah. Is your God, how weak ass is your faith if it can be so easily called into question, right. by everything else? Your faith is your own. Your faith is, you know, it is for you what it is for you. How tenuous and how pointless is it if it can't also coexist with the world of facts and science around you?
Yeah.
I mean, you just got to get your head out of your ass.
So
take prayer in school. How big a clusterfuck would it be if public schools were suddenly allowing young little Muslim kids to put their prayer mats down, face Mecca, and get their prayer on every, you know, two or three times a day? Mm-hmm. What kind of massive shitstorm would that be?
Yeah.
Oh, the liberals are politically correct. Yeah, that's why we have public schools, and then we have churches, synagogues, mosques, etc.
Yeah.
Just keep that shit separate. Then you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
It's just prayer in school, any religious anything in the public in the secular public domain is just another way of compartmentalizing and making people different and making people obviously part of some sect. That's not what we want in the public sphere.
Right.
Go do your sect thing in the house that is built for your sect. You're a Muslim, you're a fucking Jew, you're a Christian, you're a fucking, Lutheran, Catholic. I don't give a shit. Just go do it in the little box that they built for you.
Yeah.
No one's messing with that box.
Unbelievable.
It is. Oh, we're being oppressed. Really? I can't drive through my little Mayberry town without running into, there's like 18 churches in this town. There's only like 15 people.
Yeah.
I come into town, I take Peanut on a drive, we come in back into town from the opposite direction than we usually go, and there's the first thing you see is this giant sign, "Welcome to Mayberry," and a list of all of our churches. How are you being oppressed? You have a belief,
right.
You built a box to go in to practice that belief. No one's messing with that box. go get in your box and get your prayer on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come outside the box and shut your fucking mouth because I don't want to hear it. Has nothing, your belief outside your box has nothing to do with my life. Yeah. I don't want you in my reproductive system. I don't want you in that woman over there's reproductive system. I don't want you in my school. Fuck off. You've got that box. Go get in the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one's. And that box is tax-free.
Mm-hmm. Well,
idiots.
It won't be for long.
Well, it won't be. Fine with me.
As long, you know, as soon as they want to conflate all of these things, then they're screwed. Then they're screwed.
Because be fine then with me. We're going to take care of the deficit tomorrow. Yeah. Start taxing churches.
Yeah.
And all the land, the biggest landowners, the biggest private landowners in this country are churches, religious institutions.
Mm-hmm.
They've got more private land tax-free than anybody else.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Tomorrow, give them a tax bill. Deficit done. Yeah. That budget balanced.
Exactly. But, you know, more importantly, Don Draper really goes batshit whenever he goes on vacation.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Don't talk to me about Mad Men.
You haven't watched it yet?
I told you I'm like three seasons behind. I've got so much else to do other than catch up on Mad Men.
Mm. I'm
trying to write up my own TV show, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that's no excuse.
Well, then you just I'll take your name off the script then. I sell that shit.
But didn't you? I mean, you watched a couple of episodes before, like last week's episode, didn't you?
No, I told you I'm way, way behind.
Oh, no, maybe it was Dexter you had caught up on, but you haven't watched this week's Dexter either.
Not allowed to talk about Dexter either.
Here are two shows that you don't watch that I can mention. First of all, House is one of my guilty pleasure shows. Because it's not, I don't think it's, I mean, Hugh Laurie is excellent, but I don't, you know, it's not a fantastic show. It's not an HBO caliber, you know, kind of Showtime show. But you know what? I'm thinking about giving up on House because he's just, you know, it was so, it, like all last season was, every episode was, what's the matter with House? How can we dance around House? How can we fix House? And it just was stupid. I don't want to see that. You know, let House be House, okay? Then now, this season, House is now with Cuddy, okay? Now, he's having this fling with Cuddy. And so everything is about, well, now everything is Cuddy dancing around House. And then House, every episode, it's House begging for sex with Cuddy. Yeah, okay.
Is Cuddy a man or a woman?
Cuddy is a woman.
Okay.
And so they're together and, like, you know, it's so stupid. Last night's episode, I had to stop watching last night's episode because it was dumb. It was House acting like a dick. All right. So House was acting like a royal asshole. It's just like, you know what, Cuddy? I'm only going to watch.
That was the whole point of the show.
Well, no, I mean, especially so because he's not on painkillers anymore.
Oh.
And so he's not even, you know, so he's just a dick. So he just goes, you know, Cuddy needs to do a seminar or something that night, and she asks House to watch her adopted child, her little adopted girl, okay? And okay. House is like, I'm not going to do that, Cuddy, and you know what? I'm only going to do it if you give me sex afterward.
Nice.
I mean, just completely, just a phenomenal asshole. You know, I'm supposed to be in love with you, but you know what? Fuck you. I'm not going to watch your child for a half an hour. Unless you blow me, you know, when you get home.
Nice.
So, you know, so it's just like, and then what happens is he agrees to do it. And then he and Wilson, his friend Wilson, who's a, you know, an oncologist at the hospital, they're together and watching this child. The child swallows a dime. Okay, the child swallows a coin. And then House is supposed to be this brilliant doctor, and he's fishing for the coin around the child's stomach using like a alphabet magnet.
No, that wouldn't work.
So it just turned into this ridiculous, you know, House and Wilson solve this crisis with a child who swallowed a coin.
Is it the same Wilson from Home Improvement where you only see him from like the nose up and he's wearing a stupid hat?
It's no. Oh, who's
that? Would be cool.
Who's the actor? The actor was in Dead Poets Society. Played.
Oh, that guy. I thought he was. I thought that. They killed him off.
No.
Oh.
In the
show? See, that's how much I know about. No. See, yeah. I just don't get into. I have never, ever, 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 ever seen a single episode of ER. Ever.
Yeah.
Never seen a single ER.
Good for you.
Nor any show with the letters CSI in it. Any of them. Never, ever, ever seen one.
And why is that? It's just you just don't like...
I don't know. I just don't get into that shit. I don't know. Yeah. Smallville. That's... Now I'll give you my update on Smallville. It's getting awesome, so...
Yeah. Well, there's some... that's good watching.
It is. Shut up. Smallville's awesome. It's been on for 10 fucking years now. I'm waiting for him to get his Superman on.
Man, notify the affiliates. This has been the longest show ever.
There's some technical difficulties involving my dog.
You know, okay, here's the background. We usually start recording the podcast at 10 o'clock Eastern time.
That's right.
It is now 10 minutes till noon Eastern time. It has taken us an hour and 51 minutes to do a one-hour podcast.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
I need a nap.
Mm-hmm.
I need a nap and some of House's painkillers.
Mm, I need some Smallville.
Crack me up.
It's a great show.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. You fudge with us. You fudge with the best. We shall be back next Thursday. Oh, you know what? We didn't even get to talk about Joe Sestak's poop commercial.
Oh, poop.
You know, he's building lots of Sestak momentum.
And it's his.
And he's going to beat Toomey. I'm predicting that. I think Sestak's going to win. And I think you can attribute it to his poop commercial.
Poop.
Yep.
Poop's funny.
Literally, he holds up a bag of poop twice.
Awesome.
All right. Take care, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.